So this morning, I don't know if you know it or not, this morning we are, it is Pentecost Sunday this morning. It is Pentecost Sunday this morning. And so Pentecost, let me read the scripture and we'll get started. Acts chapter 2. And verse 2 says this, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Galileans? And then how will they, each one of us, hear them? Praise the Lord. Let me pray again. Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" So, like, when you read, like, I have these scriptures, like, most of these scriptures are, like, in my head in the New King James. So when I stutter, it's like I'm wanting to say these scriptures. It's such a familiar scripture to me. Like, all these scriptures, I want to say them in New King James. So it's like, okay, no, just read the words, David. So Pentecost is actually, it is a Jewish festival. It is one of the Jewish holidays, which is actually the Festival of Weeks. Is actually Pentecost, is the Festival of Weeks. Is that actually Shavuot is the name of the festival. It's actually celebrated, I'm going to read it here, it's celebrated 7 weeks and one day after the first Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it has 7 weeks plus a day from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's actually one of the three major travel, where it's commanded that the people travel back to Jerusalem. Right, or where God's presence is, which was in Jerusalem. Right, so it's one of those times where that's why so many people were there. They were all there to celebrate Festival of Weeks. And so where do we get the name Pentecost? Actually, Pentecost is actually the Festival of Weeks. Basically, it is that in Greek. So we get Pentecost from the Greek of Festival of Weeks. So Pentecost is a Greek translation of Festival of Weeks. So it's Pentecost. But we as believers in Jesus, we have a whole nother reason to celebrate. We have a whole nother reason to celebrate Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so as we begin to talk about this, this is a subject, and let me just go ahead and say it. It's in my message a little bit later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. This is a subject that has been debated and been talked about, and people have disagreed about it. Denominations have formed over this doctrine. And this is a whole thing about what this all means. And so, as a student of the Word, I have studied this for 30 years. Now I can say that. Almost 30 years, right? For almost one year less. Than 30 years, 29 years, I've studied this. Because coming back to the Lord, like this subject that I'm going to teach on this morning, is really the real thing that kind of rededicated my life to the Lord at that place in my life. And so it was this that really, really kind of sealed it. So I'm going to read some scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures because that's what we do. And I want you to listen, if this is not in your wheelhouse, we have people from all denominations in our church, and I thank God for it. If this is not in your wheelhouse, this is my question I want you to ask. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? And let me just make it clear, not what you've seen, right? Not what you've seen. Not the excesses that you've seen. Not the stuff that you would say, that's just weird that you've seen. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Because I'll be honest. My view, my thoughts and things have evolved over the years to what I'm going to teach this morning. And there's some things that I was all in, and there's some things that I've kind of evolved in. And you'll hear some of those in a minute. But this talk on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you cannot take it out of the Word. You cannot take it out of the Word. If you're a student of the Word, and you have people, and you accurately read and understand the Word, this has to be a category for you, right? And let me just break it down, and let me just take away every religious thought that you've ever thought about this. Amen? And I want you to open your heart, not just to my words. Please don't just open your word. Please don't open your hearts to anything that anybody just spits out of their mouth. It's the Word of God. Amen? Jesus says this in Acts chapter 1. Not Jesus didn't say this. Yes, he did. He said, on occasion, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, on occasion while he was eating with them, talking about Jesus, talking about the resurrected Jesus, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, promised, which you have heard me speak about. So this is not the first time Jesus has talked about this. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus again talking about it. Verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, this is John speaking, but one will come after me, the one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mark chapter 1 and verse 7. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he baptized you with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, this is John again speaking. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I will come, and the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's interesting that actually every single one of the Gospels, and even the book of Acts, talks about Jesus being the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He talks about Jesus being one that's going to come and give out the Holy Spirit. Now, in Bible interpretation, like not every story in the Gospels, like not every story is repeated throughout the Gospels. But I will tell you this, if it is repeated, we need to tweak up our ears and listen. It was included in every one of the Gospels. That means a couple of things. That means Jesus probably talked about it, and that was probably one of the main things that John talked about, because it was repeated over and over and over. Right? And so as they wrote down these scriptures, that was one of the things that they remembered, right, that John said. And so in the scriptures, as Paul points to, there's a time where Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells them before he's taken away to heaven in Luke chapter 24, I'm going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you've been, listen to these words, clothed with power from on high. Power from on high. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, but wait until you receive power. Everybody say power. Power. You will receive power. So there's been so much talks and so many things said about this, but my question is this. So in John chapter 20, I do not have it up on the screen. I didn't bold it out. That's my bad. Acts chapter 20, John chapter 20 and verse 21 and 22, here's Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. We see him, he walks through the walls, right? And he appears to the disciples. And Jesus says this, and again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, listen to this. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now we may have a problem. So when did the Holy Spirit come? Did the Holy Spirit come when he breathed on them? Or did the Holy Spirit come in Acts chapter 2 when the power of God and it fell like tongues and they were all filled with the Spirit and they spoke in tongues? And I'll boldly say this. If you believe of one infilling, then you have to believe that those two scriptures contradict. Or you have to believe that when Jesus blew on those disciples, nothing really happened. I don't believe that. I believe that the Bible says that Jesus blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Guess what happened? They blew on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Right? So what's the difference? So what's happening in Acts chapter 2? He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Then we look in Acts chapter 19 and verse 19. And this is the early church. And it says this in verse 19, Acts chapter 19, verse 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So evidently, these are disciples, right? "No," they answered, "we had not even heard about the Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people that there's one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul placed his hands on them, and the Spirit came on them, and they all spoke in tongues and prophesied." There were about 12 men in all. And then we see in Acts chapter 8, watch this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter. Now before this, we actually see that these same believers were actually preached to and received Jesus. And they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now question, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did those believers in Samaria, did they receive the Holy Spirit when they asked Jesus to be, when they were baptized into the name of Jesus and they became believers in the Lord Jesus? Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Remember, the only way you can have a regenerative power of God in you is by the power of the Holy Spirit inside you. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, when you receive Jesus, there is a transformation that happens on the inside of you, that the Holy Spirit Himself comes in and just changes everything, makes you a new creation. Why? So that the power of the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of you. Right? When you ask Jesus into your heart and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, make me a new person, cleanse me from all the stuff I've done wrong, the Holy Spirit came on you. Absolutely. And we see that in the Scriptures. Right? So when Jesus breathes on those brand new believers, what is He breathing? The regenerative power of the Holy Spirit for the process of being born again. Those believers were born again in that moment when Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But watch the terminology that's used by Jesus when He says this. He says in Acts chapter 1, we'll read it again, verse 8. "But you will receive" what? "Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He says, wait for the promise, so when the promise comes, you will receive power. Right? "But do not leave Jerusalem. For John baptized you in water, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city." He's telling the same people that Jesus blew on him days before to wait in the city. Don't go anywhere. Stay into the city until you receive what? Power from on high. power from on high. See, the Bible teaches that there is your born-again experience, and there is a subsequent. Sometimes they happen together. Sometimes they happen together. It happened for my wife at the same, right? Same night. Right? But then for some of us, because, and I'll just say it, because of incorrect teaching of the Word of God, we don't receive the power that God offers us. We don't receive that. And then it says this in Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about that there's a time where it says, don't be drunk with wine, right? We know that scripture. But be what? Filled with the Spirit, right? But be filled with the Spirit. And then it actually says, I'm so terrible in my notes this morning. But then it says, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Right? This is, in the context, this is these same believers, right? They're all being persecuted for what they believe. Matter of fact, people are getting thrown in jail, and then they stand up and say, listen, God, I pray you would anoint us to preach the Word of God with even more boldness, right? And that signs and wonders would follow us. And then the Bible says that the place where they were staying was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. These same people who were at Pentecost, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. Listen, and I'll just say it like my wife said it this morning. I should probably just bring her up and let her say it. But she says, this is not like, you come up, won't you do this part? That was so good. What she said this morning was really good. I just want her to, I could say it, but I want her to do it.
So I was just thinking about this morning, knowing that this is where David was going to talk about this morning, how we think about receiving the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, especially people that are used to, you were raised in a charismatic church, that we think of it like kind of going to the aquarium, like it's a one-time experience that then you have like good memories and maybe you're different because, wow, the world seems smaller and I saw those amazing things, or going to, you know, the Braves game or whatever, and then maybe you go back again. But it's different than just like an experience that you go and have and then you go back to your regular life. Yeah. But what it's more like is like when I married David. Now, suddenly, he's there all the time. Like, I wake up.
No, wait. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yeah, that's right. But guess what? I wake up in the morning and there he is. I go to bed at night and there he is. I go in the kitchen to make some coffee and there he is. You know? Like he comes and so I look out the window. Oh, there he is.
I'm everywhere.
He's everywhere. But we think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit as something that we go and experience one time.
Right.
Or maybe even experience a couple times, like when you go to church, you have a thing, but it's different. Like this is a relationship with the creator of the universe. That's what we're talking about here. So we stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's so much in the Word about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we want His presence and His friendship. And there's so much more I could say about that, but that was...
No, you can keep talking. It's really good. No, it is. See, it's not like... Go ahead. So it's like... It's not like, you know, like if you were a charismatic, right? Not like that you got baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 1992 and you holla shandied and all that. And all of a sudden, like listen, there is multiple times that you can be filled with God's presence and God's Spirit. It's not a one time and you're out deal. Some of you are like, thank God. You're like, I thought like if I had it once, then I don't know what's wrong with me. But actually, in that scripture in Ephesians, it talks about, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know that the verb tense in that scripture is being filled. Like continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, listen. Let me just talk to my charismatic friends for just a minute. I mean, if you were born in a charismatic church, listen, there's still power available for you. There are still refillings for you, available for you. And don't think just because you were baptized in the Spirit years ago that you're still the same Spirit-filled believer that you used to be. It is a refilling and a refilling. Why? Because this world's crazy and it will drain you and you will walk in your flesh again. You will think with your mind again. I need God to refresh. That's why it says this, that times of refreshing will come in the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing comes in the presence of the Lord. Not a one-time deal. Not a one-time shot. It's a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you my story. My story is this. I was raised Methodist. Actually, if you read John Wesley actually talks about this very same thing. He talks about being filled with the Spirit. He talks about a lot of our church fathers that we, I mean, I just did a lot of research this week. I had to pare it all down. Understand, this is not a new thought that happened in the 1900s, like this last century. Like, this is something that's been going on since the day of Pentecost that we celebrate today. It's been going on all this time, right? It may look different. It may have, you know, whatever. But they're still talking about people who were born again, but yet they were filled with the power of God. John Wesley talks about there were strange utterances as we were praying. And, you know, how, you know, when you read his writings, you know, they're very English and proper. And there were strange utterances as people were filled with the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing as in the book of Acts. When those Samaritans were already believers and Peter laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and they prophesied and all the things that went with it. Actually, notice that in all this talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the first time I've talked about really speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more than just speaking in tongues. Thank God. It's a whole lot more than speaking in tongues. So my story is this. So I grew up Methodist, and I was great. I had this amazing encounter with God at a youth camp, and our youth pastor at the time, he took us up into this real, it was kind of not sketchy. It was just kind of dark, and he had like candles everywhere, and it was like before Bethel did candles. Like, he was so ahead of his time. So he had candles, and he had like the whole table set up as the Last Supper. Wow. And he sat there and he explained what the bread and the wine was. The first time I'd really heard that in my life. And that night I gave my life to Jesus. And it was an upper room. Because it was a room off the upper floor on a gym, connected to a gym. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I remember I was so excited. I remember I went home and I go, Mom, you won't believe it. Like, I asked Jesus. And, you know, God bless Mom. You know, they did the best they could. They're like, that's awesome, David. And I was like, no, like, something's different in me, right? And then life and then tough stuff happened. And then my father passes away when I'm 16 years old. And my mom quits going to church and she blames kind of the church. And it was just a mess. She married this guy that just, I wasn't the biggest fan of. We'll just be nice. And it was just rough. So I turned away from God and I got into all the stuff that, you know, some young adults get into. And then I went to this Bible study. And as I went to this Bible study, it was a big Bible study with like thousands of young adults. And I went there and this guy was preaching and he was just such a great speaker, and he gave this great call for people to rededicate in their life. And I go, oh, that's a thing? Okay, cool, I can rededicate mine. I need to rededicate my life. And so I did. I rededicated my life to the Lord, and it was awesome. And then they had this thing, it was called, they did like an outreach to the homeless on Friday nights. And my buddy, he said, man, let's go, let's do this. Because actually we kind of rededicated our life together at the same time, and it was just me and him, and we were just going for it. And we're like, yeah, let's go down. So we started going down to this homeless ministry, and this is what we would do. We'd meet together in this big, huge, and man, there were probably 40 or 50 people that would come down and meet together. It was big. It was like a lot of people would come down. And then what we'd do is we'd split up in groups of seven, and we'd go all over the city, all over downtown, and go. We'd get bags of bread, and we'd take all the bread out, and we'd make sandwiches, and we'd put the bread back in the, you know, so we'd carry sandwich bags with us everywhere we went, and pass out sandwiches and pray with homeless people and love on homeless people and talk to them. I did that for so long that, like, I remember going down for a concert back when there was the Omni. Some of y'all, it was that long ago. And so I remember going down to a concert, and I'm stopped at a stoplight, and this homeless guy, there's like a couple of homeless guys going, Dave, hey, man, how are you doing? I was like, I knew all the homeless people in Atlanta. Like, I did it for years. But one of the first times I went down, one of the early times when I went down, I met up with this group of people, and it was a new group of people that I'd never been with before. Usually I had the same people, and we'd kind of go off together. And they did this. They bowed their heads. They started praying in tongues. And they said this, we're not going to leave until the Holy Spirit tells us where to go. And I went, that's different. Because we just go. In my mind, I'm like, there's homeless people everywhere. You don't have to ask God where to go. They're everywhere. Right? Right? And so they go, we're not going to pray. And I go, I'm so young in the Lord. And I just go, and I remember just stopping and going, I feel like we should just go and just start walking. Meaning, this is taking way too long. Like, you people are nuts. Like, right? This is taking, I feel like we should just start walking. And they went, no, that's not God. And I was like, okay, bold. Okay, so we prayed. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. They said, I feel like we're supposed to go down to the Omni. And I went, Omni, perfect. There's a lot of people there. I know exactly why we're going to the Omni. Of course, why would not? Of course, you know, I'm sure the Holy Spirit told you. And, you know, we're going to go down, and we're going to go to the Omni, because they probably have a game. You know, it's basketball season. We're probably going to go to a game. There's probably going to be tons of people there. We're just going to share the gospel with people. That's great. Let's do it. Let's go. We get to the Omni, and there's nobody there. I went, how's your Holy Spirit now, man? How's the God spoke to you now? And then we walked around, and we found a couple that was there. And the woman was weeping, crying. Her son had just run away, and they were out looking for him, trying to find where he was. And he was crying, you know. I mean, picture the scene. The dad's doing the best he can. He's grieving. And the mom, he's trying to comfort his wife, who is sobbing uncontrollably. And he's trying to, you know, and we were able to get there and just pray with them. And just, we were like angels to them that came around in their time of need to help minister the love of God to them and pray with them, agree with them in that moment. And they went, and we did. We stayed with them. We talked with them. We loved on them for probably 30, 45 minutes and just, you know, was there. And we turned around and we went back. And that's what we did. And on the way back, my whole world is getting rocked. I've never seen anything like this before. Right? And so I walk up to this guy and I said, man, what is it about you people? And he says, we still believe in the power of God. We still believe that God still speaks to people. We still believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. We still believe that God still saves people. We still believe that God heals people. We still believe that God speaks to us. And we still believe in the deliverance power of God. We still believe in the ultimate, the power of God. And I went, Like, that's not even in my category of life at that time. And I go, I'm drooling. I want it. Oh, God, I want everything you have for me. If this is part of it, I want it all. Because I didn't know anything about this. And so he invited me to come up, and then these same guys, they would meet together once a month on a Saturday night. These young adults, they would meet together on a Saturday night, and they would go, They go, well, what are we going to do? He goes, man, we're going to play some volleyball. He said, but the biggest thing we're going to do is we're going to pray for 2.5 hours. And I went, like, don't you run out of words? Like, don't you, like, what? Like, that's a lot of long time, like, praying for 2.5. Like, I've done really good to, like, maybe, you know, give God a high five on the way into work one Sunday, you know, one day or whatever. But they would, so I did, I went. And they started speaking to me and telling me and showing me scriptures about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, I'm like some of you. I didn't just listen to it and go, it made me hungry, absolutely. But is it in the book? Is it in the Word of God? I don't want to chase something that's not real. I don't want to chase something that's not in the Word of God. I told somebody the other day, they were telling me about some of their beliefs, and I told them, and this is the way I am. I go, listen, if it's not in the Word of God, I don't have to believe it. But the problem is, it's in the Word of God. Like, these things are in the Word of God. And then I read this week, I'll come back to my story, but then I was reading this week, and I was reading people who don't believe in it, and I was watching the gymnastics that they have to do to not believe in this what the Bible plainly says. So I'm teaching, I'm learning, and then so I finally, we get to that Saturday night, I'm there, and I'm like, I'm so ready. Okay, yes, I believe it, it's in the Word of God, I've studied it out, I'm ready, I want more of God. And this is what happened to me. We were in a group of about 15 of us, we're about to start, actually I'd been there a couple of times before, I will say that, I've been there a couple of times before. And nothing, by the way. And I'll back up. So I used to smoke back then. You used to smoke? Yeah, I used to smoke. And my thought was, unless I quit smoking, I'm not going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was my theology, right? That was kind of where I was at. And so I would smoke on the way to the Bible study. And then I would get there and I'd go, you know, God's not going to. And so one night on the way, cigarette in my hand, smoking on the way to the Bible, the prayer, not Bible study. This was not a Bible study. This was a prayer meeting. And I was smoking there, and I said, I remember crying on the way to that Bible study. God, I just want more of you. And going, God, I can't stop. I can't stop. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I go to that prayer meeting. And he says, the leader of the guy, he says, let's pray. And when he said, let's pray, something happened. The power of God fell on me in a way I never knew it was possible. I never knew that you could tangibly sense the presence of God. And God's presence fell on me in such a huge way. And all of a sudden, for 2 hours, listen, I prayed in tongues for 2 hours. Really quiet, because I was like, is this right? Like, do you go, like, is that okay? I prayed in tongues for like 2 hours. And then, you know, shy me back then, I went up to the guy and I said, hey, I think I got it. And so what does the charismatic do? They go, oh, that's great. No, that's not what charismatics do. Woo! David got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, just going nuts, right? I'm like, thanks. But happened. Listen, nobody laid hands on me. Nobody prayed over me. But the power of God unmistakably fell on me like in a way it never had before. And all of a sudden, I can't even describe it. It opened a door into the supernatural realm that I never knew existed. I got another friend of mine. He's a denominational guy. Good friend of mine. Their denomination doesn't believe in this stuff. But he told me this. He said, David, I was in my prayer. He actually was in he takes it literally. So he'd go in a closet. He said, I went into my prayer closet. And he said, I was just crying. I was just hungry for God. He said, I just need all of God. I need more of God. He said, David, something happened to me in that prayer closet. He said, the power of God hit me. And he didn't speak in tongues. But that moment, you ask him, that moment changed him forever. He flows in the gifts of the Spirit. He flows in supernatural things. He's learning more and more every day about the power of God. And he's still technically that denominational guy. So my old self would say, well, he's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak in tongues. Mm-mm. I say it like this now. Do you have to pray in tongues in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Nope. But I believe that everybody who is filled with the Spirit can speak in tongues. It seems like there's a lot of times where people are prayed over, what we read from the Bible, that hands were laid on them, they received the power of the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There's different times, there's different things. But I believe that everybody who is baptized in the Spirit can speak in tongues. Paul makes it really plain. I'm not going to talk about tongues this morning, but Paul does make it pretty plain. He says, I thank my God. He said, I thank my God. Oh, is it a projector? All right, praise the Lord. The power of God is in this room. Holy Ghost and with fire. I am not even kidding. God's power. Listen, God is so powerful. It isn't on fire or anything. We do need to make sure. No, I know. I just want to make sure that nothing else is going on. Just shut them off. Okay. Okay, wait. Well, time out. Hold on a second. I was like, Jessica, what did you do? Okay. The power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want any distraction actually in this. So the power of the Holy Spirit is real. And it's available for you and it's available for me. And just because, for my charismatic friends, just because you were baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 1992 doesn't mean you're operating in the fullness of the Spirit of God now. It's not a one-time filling. There's an initial filling. There's initial, right? Jesus said, he says this. I don't have it in my notes, but he said, what good father, if somebody asks him for bread, they would give him a snake. He said, how much more with those who ask for the Holy Spirit will God give it to them freely? What do I believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I believe it can be a second experience than being born again. I also believe, I've said this for years, it's an introduction into the spiritual realm of the things of God, like you've never seen before. They had to leave, but this is how it works. We ministered to Amy, not by mental. We ministered to Amy by the Spirit of God. Listen, God would give us words. God would give us words about that. And we would speak those words out and you watch those big, that's it. Like things that only the Holy Spirit knows. Right? We ministered to her through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not out of some mental prayers. Yeah. We prayed to her by the power of the Holy Spirit. We knew our authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole nother level to walking with God. And listen, I don't know what your experience is with all this. I don't know what evangelist that you saw and you went, I'll never be a part of that. I'll never look at that. Maybe that's not what it's going to look like for you. But I want you to know that the power of the Spirit. What's the title of my message this morning? We're talking about crushing it. My message this morning is called Crushing It with Power. Because the power of the Holy Spirit changes everything. You'll be endued with power from on high. I never smoked again after that night that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Completely gone. Never drank again after that night. Completely gone. It's amazing what the power of God can do. I don't even know if those really two things were connected. They were connected for me because I believe that God wanted to say, I've done something bigger than just, gave you an experience. Amen. Let's all stand together. Worship.